So, wow, you know, this is like the fourth time we've talked. You've been on three podcasts of mine.
I know, and let me just say really quickly, you have been such not only a supporter of mine, but of the cervical cancer cause. And I just want to thank you, not only for supporting me in the cause, but for all the topics, the people, and causes that you support. You really are a shero, and I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very much. Well, I mean, back at you because you started a whole organization. But let me just start from the beginning.
Okay.
Okay. For people who don't know, this is Tamika Felder. She is a cervical cancer survivor. I'm going to say that, survivor. And she started an organization for other cervical cancer survivors and women dealing with it, and just people who aren't, but maybe family and friends. And her organization is called Survivor. And so, Tamika, tell them your hooks on social media, where you are on
Sure.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
So you can follow me everywhere at Tamika Felder, TAMIKAF as in Frank, ELDER. And you can follow my organization at I Am Survivor here on Instagram and Twitter, and just Survivor on Facebook, CERVIVOR. And shout out to all my Survivor sisters that I see on here. I see some friends too. You guys, please drop those handles in the chat for me while I'm one-handing it with my broken tripod. But
Yeah, oh
January
my
is
God.
Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. And when I tell you, I am hyped up to talk about coochie cancer, I'm hyped up to talk about coochie cancer.
Well, you know what? I just want to remind people, I'm going to show them a special picture, but I want to let people know if you don't know about me, I'm at Joy Keys on Twitter. I'm Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook, and I'm Saturdays with Joy Keys here on Instagram. And this Saturday, I'll be doing two shows just in case you're awake at 11, between 11 and 12. One is on glaucoma, and the other one is with a Haitian writer, her book called What Storm, What Thunder, and her name is Miriam Chancey. So you can tune in this Saturday, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and on Blog Talk Radio. So again, Saturday mornings with Joy Keys. But yes, we are talking about the coochie tonight. And you know what? I got a picture because some people don't know where
They
the
don't
cervix
know.
is.
Listen, when I talk to
Exactly.
people and I do an icebreaker and I'm like, "Where's your cervix?" A lot of people just kind of pat their abdomen. They might pat a little lower, but they really just kind of pat right below the belly button. So, listen, it's important for us
This
to
is my
know our
picture.
body.
Okay, look, see the picture? Okay, this is the picture, people. So you can see here, and I'll post it online, but you can see the cervix, and then you see the ovaries, you'll see the uterus. This is for men and women may not be aware of what it looks like or where it is. So I got a picture, you
Yes.
know.
Know where your cervix is. Know where your other person's cervix is. It's okay to encourage them to get screened. If you have a cervix, you may be at risk for cervical cancer, or you are at risk. And so it's best to be proactive with your health. Do not be like me, being diagnosed at 25.
Well, you know, it don't I don't want to, we like we talked about in one of our shows about shame. You know, people may feel uncomfortable going to someone to look at below the waist, you know. Their family may not been open to discussing what they needed to do when they were growing up. And so we don't want to shame anybody if you haven't and you're 35, but get there yesterday.
Well, you know, that was part of my story, Joy. When I first moved from South Carolina to the Maryland area, I went to go see a doctor after not having insurance for a while because as a freelance journalist, sometimes, or just a consultant, contractor, independent person, you don't always have insurance, right? Shout out to the Affordable Health Care Act for helping to change that, by the way. But I didn't, and I went to go see a doctor. And when I saw that doctor, and this was about four years before I was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and I don't blame this on my cervical cancer. We too are not getting
I think I
screened.
paused for a second. Can you still see? Can you still
I
hear me?
see you.
Okay.
See you.
So you were talking about it took you because you didn't have any insurance, and then
I had a doctor that actually body shamed me. I was in the midst, feet up in the stirrups. You know, nobody wakes up and they're just like, oh my God, it's Pap Day. I love Pap Day. I can't wait. So it takes a lot for us to already go in. You don't know where to hide your underwear, hide your socks, all this other stuff.
Did I shave? But did I not shave?
Exactly. Exactly. Did I put lotion on these, you know, was my feet crusty? Does it look good?
That's right. Exactly.
Right? And so she was touching my abdomen and she was just like, you know, if you ever were pregnant, you wouldn't know. And I thought, if I was pregnant,
she
I would
said,
know.
What?
She said that. And in that moment, I was so mad. I was angry.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? I think I should come back. And she said, oh, no. I'm sorry. And it was too late. And then I didn't go again for 3-4 years, right?
Oh,
and
wow.
Here's the whole thing. If you're being proactive with your health, if you're getting screened, and we have better tests than we had in 2001 when I was diagnosed, because then we only had the Pap test or Pap smear, right. Some people know it
well,
as it
well,
was.
Well, Tamika, let's tell people, how often should they be going to see their OBGYN?
So first, you should have an OBGYN. You should have a primary physician. You should have a dentist. You should have a dermatologist. You should have all of this. So in your arsenal of the healthiest, best you, have an OBGYN. If you're diagnosed with a gynecologic cancer, you want to go see a gynecologic oncologist, someone who specializes in the cancer of the gynecologic region. So you want to go, the guidelines specify that you should go every 3 years. And before someone comments and they get up in arms and they say either one, I had cancer, if I had waited that long, because remember, my story is I didn't see someone for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
I would have died. That's what we hear when we talk about guidelines. But the word is guidelines. So that means they are just guidelines. They are for the general public. If you have a doctor and you're being regularly screened, which if I was being regularly screened, maybe the precancer would have been caught. And so we want to catch it as early as possible. Mm-hmm. So if someone has it, they don't lose their fertility.
Well,
and worse.
For me personally, I go every year. Mm-hmm. And actually, my primary care doctor, thank God, one of the great doctors in the world or universe, I'll say, she always asked me, did you have your screening yet? Have you had your mammogram? So she's very proactive. If I haven't done it or she doesn't see it in my records, she asked me, wait, make sure they send me the results. So me personally, and I told my daughter this, I told her to go every year.
Let me just say this too. I'm not a doctor, and I see one of our great gynecologic oncologists.
Okay.
Join Dr. Temkin. She has a great film, 101 Cuts, about women empowerment, women who are gynecologic oncologists in surgery. I might be getting the description wrong, but definitely she is one of the sheroes in this movement. But we have better testing now. And so the tests are a little more sensitive. Do things fall through the crack? Yes, absolutely. But they are guidelines. Should you see your doctor every year? Yes. But should you get your cervix scraped, smeared, and all this other stuff every year? We don't need to do that anymore because we have great testing, screening tools with Pap tests, HPV tests, and we have a vaccine to prevent HPV-related cancers.
Well, before we get that far, we want to start with where and how did you find out that you were diagnosed with cervical cancer, and where were you when you found out? And what was your feeling?
Listen, I was starting a new career that had full insurance that I didn't even care about, but I was so happy to have more money to hang out and live my life, right?
Right.
So
right.
Randomly, I had a boil under my arm, acne, basically a hair bump.
Wow.
And it got so bad, I had to go to an emergency outpatient facility type thing.
Okay.
And the doctor asked a simple question. He was like, when was your latest physical, you know, everybody when they do the intake process, they go through all the things. And I was like, it's been a couple years and I don't know. And he literally was like, you need to get screened. You need to make sure you're screened. So he recommended a doctor. I went to go see the doctor. This doctor was an older woman. She was Persian. Her rule was, I want you to come back in 2 weeks. I don't have your family history. We're going to go over everything. And
wow.
I remember thinking, this woman is so annoying. I have to line.
But that's what she wants.
News. I don't have time for this, but this was her rule. That woman saved my life, by the way.
Yeah.
So I went back and she's going over everything. And I'm like, she's going to tell me I need to lose weight, which I'm still working on. I've been working on for a long time, but things are much better. I'm in a much better place.
Okay.
That's one good outcome of the pandemic.
Yes.
And she's going through all the tests and she says, now let's talk about your pap test. Let's talk about this. And she touched me by my knee and she started saying words like carcinoma. And
I'm like,
this lady is a quack. I got to get out of here. I was like, I know what cancer looks like. I don't look like someone
who would have cancer.
Mm-hmm. I know my dad died the day before my 17th birthday of colon cancer. I've had all types of cancer in my family. I don't look like someone who has it.
Yeah.
And so to make a long story short, I was in that office. It was like an out-of-body experience that you see on the movies. I didn't believe I had cancer. I didn't want cancer. I didn't want to die. I had so much more living to do.
Mm-hmm.
And things happened really quickly, very quickly for me.
Okay, before you go further, okay, so let's talk about that. Did you have any symptoms other than this boil? Were you feeling
anything? No, but now that I know what I know about cervical cancer,
okay,
there were little things that I just chucked up to being a woman, things that happen in everyday life. Mm-hmm. And some of those things where I had bleeding during or after sex.
Okay.
You know, again, these are things that we shouldn't talk about. Me being a good Southern lady, you know, we should talk, but I'm talking about them because I want to save you guys from coochie cancer. You know?
But that's important to say. So one of the symptoms possibly could be bleeding during or after sex. You might notice some bleeding. And one of the other
spotting, it could be heavy, it could be what, but I didn't know this until I learned more about the disease and started becoming an advocate. And then I was like, oh, I remember that one time that there was a little, you know, something.
Mm-hmm. And also, what's another symptom, Tamika, is discharge, correct?
Discharge, frequent urination, lower back pain, lower leg pains, things that women, especially busy women, may chuck up to being like, oh, it's nothing, or I'll take a Tylenol, or I'll take this, and I'll be fine.
Right.
And these are the things where our body whispers to us, and we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention. Sometimes we think we're doing the most. No, you get this one life.
Opportunity.
This one life.
Yes.
And we have to take care of ourselves.
Now, one of the things that we talked about in our interview, and several of them, is the cause of cervical cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, and when one of the things when I went back and listened, it was saying 90% of the people in the world have HPV.
Mm-hmm.
90%. And I say H as in Harry, P as in Paul, V as in Victor, HPV. Mm-hmm. So again, we're going to go to the shame issue and sexuality, but let's say that again, 90% have it. Now, what we talked about before was that some people develop cancer and some don't.
Mm-hmm. True.
But 90% of the people in the world are going to have HPV.
In most cases, it will clear. Your body's immunity will clear it on its own. In some people, it won't.
Right.
It won't. And if it's not caught and it's just running rampant, it will turn into cancer.
Yes.
It can turn into cervical cancer, anal cancer, penile cancers, oropharyngeal cancers, vaginal, vulvar cancers. It can turn into an HPV-related cancer.
Right.
And so cervical cancer really is special because not only will the vaccine prevent HPV-related cancers, but we have diagnostic tools to screen to see if we have abnormal cells in HPV. And so, yes,
now,
it is very
Tamika,
common.
Before we go further again, you talked about this vaccine several times. When should a person get a vaccine? And we talked about this before also, can boys or should boys get this vaccine?
So I'm going to start with the last question. Absolutely, boys should get the vaccine. It's for boys and girls. When the vaccine was first rolled out in 2006, they did a horrible job marketing it. It was only FDA approved for girls. It kind of went into this downward spiral about it being a sex cancer vaccine.
Right.
And so you can get the vaccine as young as 9. And people have an issue with it. And if what you don't know, you don't know. If I wasn't as up on this information, perhaps right. I would feel the same way. And so we have to be informed, right? We cannot
now, how social old, media. How old can you get it? Can you get it?
So 9 years old is the youngest age. And the reason why 9 is the age is because people are having sex younger and younger. And they want to vaccinate you before you've been exposed to HPV. Yes. You can get it up until your early 40s, but okay. by then you've already been exposed to HPV. There's over 100 different strains. Listen, mm-hmm. I believe in vaccinating whatever age you want to do it. If you're 51 yeah. and you have the means because insurance isn't going to cover it and you can find someone to get it to you and protect you from these other HPV-related cancers,
right.
they're not fun. They are not fun. Do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now, after you found out you had it, then what was the next step you had to take? And who did you have to talk to?
I had to talk to everybody, but I didn't want to talk to anybody because this was 2001. We didn't have social media. We didn't have this type of method.
Right, interaction.
To connect
yeah.
with each other.
Yes.
And so no one mentioned HPV to me. I was never actually diagnosed with HPV. And the HPV test was not FDA approved until okay. 2003. Do I believe I had HPV? Probably, but I don't know. And actually, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter to me, right?
Okay.
So
okay.
when I was diagnosed, no one ever mentioned HPV to me. I went to get this, the library, pulled out my encyclopedias,
okay.
went to Barnes and Nobles, bought every book I could get. And I started seeing this thing and I was like, what? Got on my computer, pulled up AOL. I see Brock Yetso on here. Hey, Brock. I did a lot of reaching out to places like the Almond Cancer Fund for resources because yes. we didn't have these modes, these methods to instantly connect with people.
Right.
And let me say this since we talked about the vaccine and some other things. Social media is amazing because we can come together like this and share information. Social media is also a fire dumpster because anyone can share information and say it's the
truth.
That
may or may not be true or not.
Absolutely. So when you're looking at things and you're seeking information, especially things that impact your livelihood, your life, right? The health and wealth of your person or your child,
right.
you want to look for information that's sourced, right?
Now that you said that, Tamika, I want you to repeat again how people can reach you on social media and your organization that you started, Survivor. Okay, so repeat what you said about how they can reach you.
So you can find me everywhere at TamikaFelder.com, T-A-M-I-K-A, F as in Frank, E-L-D-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
You can find the organization on Instagram and Twitter at I Am Survivor. I see my Survivor sisters, so y'all drop in the chat for me.
Okay.
Facebook is just Survivor, and we talk about all things coochie cancer, you know? And listen, I'm using humor, but I want people to feel comfortable talking about these conversations. I want somebody who's listening right now who has not been screened, because the pandemic has us behind in all screenings, colon cancer, skin cancer, cervical cancer screenings.
But a lot of people's doctors are doing telehealth. So many people may not think about that. You have a phone, you have a computer, you have a laptop, you have an iPad. You can see your doctor possibly, I don't know, depending on your insurance, but many are still doing telehealth. So
telehealth is great, but for cervical cancer, you have to physically go in. And
you need to go in, but at least to start. If you start
yes.
having discharge, if you are having the back pain, if you are having spotting, you know, during sex or after sex or during the week and it's not your cycle, these are things, don't wait. Don't be like, oh, I can't go to doctor because I don't want to get COVID. You know, make sure that you take advantage of at least do the telehealth, and then the doctor can say, okay, you need to come in.
Based on
what you're telling.
Here's our advice that as an organization, Survivor.
And can they buy that shirt on your website?
They can go to survivor.org/shop and get a shirt, get all kind of stuff. We've got lapel pins, everything. And if you do it now, we'll throw some free goodies in for you too. But listen, I want you to know this, honestly, like you have to get screened. It's not fun. Our theme for this Cervical Cancer Awareness Month is take care of you in 2022. Listen, we are still experiencing.
Wait, did she rhyme? Is she like a rapper? Did I need to go?
Take care of you in 2022. how many of us have just been sitting at home or living our best life, whatever it is, no judgments here from me, but we know that we haven't been screened. We haven't done our preventative screenings. How many of us are sitting and we're scared because we don't want people looking at our intimate areas? How many people are still thinking, they say that type of cancer is for a certain type of person. I'm not that type of person.
Right.
These are all misconceptions that will put you in jeopardy.
Let me ask you this, Tamika. When you found out, what kind of treatment did you have to go through and what stage were you at? What is it, 1, 2, 3, 4?
I was stage 2A and I received a radical hysterectomy. And then after I healed from my hysterectomy, which meant I lost my fertility at 25, yeah. I had chemotherapy and radiation therapy. Shout out to Patty, who is putting all the information in chat. Y'all to just join. I broke my my.
She broke her tripod. Wait, my tripod. 1 second.
Real quick.
Okay. I got something for somebody. Okay. I got signed copy. Gabrielle Union's book.
Signed copy. That's a good one.
Okay. Now, you need to email me, be the first one to email SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com and just say hello. You will win a copy signed Gabrielle Union book. Okay.
Yes, that's a good one.
Okay. So this is a giveaway here. I'm going to have another one before we end. So some of the treatments we're talking about were immunotherapy, chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. Did you have to have those types of things?
So I had chemotherapy.
Okay.
And listen, I believe in medical advancements. Chemotherapy was not fun. Radiation therapy was not fun. They burn your body from the inside out. But mm-hmm. I know that it healed my body. People are scared of chemotherapy. They're scared of radiation. And it's scary. I'm not going to lie to anybody.
No.
So what we want to do, we want to prevent it. And if we can't prevent it, we want to catch it as early as possible. And with cervical cancer, we have the tools to be able to do that. Now, I know somebody is going to get in my DMs and send me, because people, they show me love, but they send me, y'all know what kind of things y'all send me. They're going to say, it's not 100% preventable. We can't prevent everything. But do we not want to do our best to try to prevent it? Do we not want to do that? And that's what I want to do.
What are the things you can do?
People die from this cancer. People think it's an easy cancer and you just get some cells scraped and that's it.
There's no such thing as easy in cancer.
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense.
People think. They think, well, if you're going to get cervical cancer, we've heard this a lot. Get cervical cancer because it's an easy cancer. I know people right now who their quality of life has changed. Do we all wake up and we smile and I'm happy? But do I live with, I look at myself every day from my belly button to my vaginal lips.
Yeah, you have a scar.
Every single staple. There were over 100 staples, right? This was 2001. They had to staple me in this belly shed. Okay.
Tamika, what can friends and family, we're getting down to our time. What can friends and family do to help someone who's been diagnosed with cervical cancer?
So we used to not talk about breast cancer because it was breast, right?
Right.
We didn't talk about those things. So it's going to take time. But the difference now is we can do something with cervical cancer. So we don't have time to wait because while we're dying, while we're waiting, people are dying. I just posted something on Tuesday with just a handful of women from our organization who have passed away since our organization has been around since 2005, right? We can do something with cervical cancer. And so we need people to talk about it. If you're here, you share this information. You go to our website. We have all types of information. You can go to the CDC. You can go wherever you choose to. Just make sure that it is the information that is real. It's not just somebody typing
like the
whatever.
NIH.
Yes.
CDC.
Yes.
One of the things we talked about is, let's mention this. HPV is a skin-to-skin. You have to skin-to-skin contact. We talked about in the last interview, you can't get it from a toilet, even though your skin touches that.
You can't get it from a toilet. Condoms are great, but they don't protect all the skin. They don't protect all of the skin. Franks and beans, the condoms don't cover the beans. it's skin to skin. So when that action is going, the skin is touching. So it's very important to be proactive, right? And so, listen, I'm not.
What does it mean to be proactive? I mean, do you, before you say you're talking to your teenager, right? And they're 12. Mm-hmm. Do you go and make them go get tested for HPV?
Well, so all my nieces and nephews, almost all of them have seen photos of not only genital warts, but scars, cancer, tumors, all this other stuff. So look, I come from the generation of scare them straight. When I first started telling my story, one of my friends says, you got to stop scaring people. But for my nieces and nephews, they know. They know my story, my great nieces and nephews. They all do. But we have an issue in this country where we just don't talk about sex, right? Sex is a beautiful thing, and we need to talk about it. We need to arm people with information. When my stepdaughter, I helped raise her, you know, we talked about it. And was the conversation uncomfortable? Yes, but it's a conversation that needs to be had.
It has to happen. You know,
it has to happen. Not just for cervical cancer and HPV, but for our whole...
everything. Exactly. My parents gave me a book, right? I still have that book. I gave it to my daughter, and it has the chicken and the egg, mm-hmm. it has the dog, and then it has the humans, right? And she learned that, but she also learned more. And I talked to her about the emotional issues around sex. That is something that they don't teach really in school. They teach the parts. This part goes inside of that part, and if you do this, da-da-da-da, you need to wear condoms, you know, abortion. But they don't really talk about the mental, emotional aspects around sex and intimacy.
You know, Patty, who's on here, she literally just, there was an article that came out for the Foundation for Women's Health, which is another great organization run by gynecologic oncologists. Mm-hmm. And Patty, drop the link to your article. She specifically talks about article that comes, a cancer that comes with stigma and shame, and being Hispanic, what that was like for her to talk about sex. There wasn't really conversations or anything like that. Yeah. And now here she is. She's gone through this experience of having cervical cancer, and she's sharing her story. Okay. And so for me, did I grow up as a little girl? And I think this is why people would want to interview me. This is why they want to share my story. No, but this is my testimony. This is the work that I will do. This is when, if I get a moment before the end of my life to reflect on it, you know, my life won't be, unfortunately, the lives that I birthed into this world, but the journey of my life and my story will be the lives that I save. So if one person on
here, I just want to show the picture again, okay? For people, so this is the cervix, we got our uterus, we got our ovaries. And this is nothing to be ashamed of. It's inside every female. And this is what she's talking about and where the cancer is going to be.
So everything that you see there is gone, except for about a third, a little bit more of vagina for me. And I have my ovaries because I got to keep them at an early age. But they're kind of hanging to connective scar tissue. That's it.
Now, if you had found it later, I mean, or let's say you found it at stage one, mm-hmm. do you think then you would be able to keep it? And are most people found at stage one? Because isn't that the issue?
Well, you know, really, we want to find pre-cancer, right? And if it is stage one, it just depends. Because I think somebody from our organization on here shared about her stage one and what she had to go through. So it really just depends. Each person is individual. I know people who have partial hysterectomies and they're still able to have children. Mm-hmm. I know people who had some type of therapeutic care and they were still able to have children. But I also know people like me, and there are a lot of us who lost our ability to have children. Nana on here who unfortunately lost her granddaughter, Jillian, who left behind two boys and a lot of friends and family who love her. People die from this. And we really, I'm just so thankful for you, you know, allowing me to share and talk about this, and everybody who is in the chat who's sharing how they were impacted by cervical cancer.
Well, one of the things in America, I think, and around the globe, women are shamed about their sexuality. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could have a show about sexuality and mm-hmm. urges and desires, and those are things that, you know, women are not supposed to. If a woman went out with five men, she's a slut. If a guy goes out with five women, he's the man, you know what I mean? And so when you're talking about this cervical area that's connected to the idea of sex, that unfortunately that's all people can think of. You say cervix, somebody says sex. I mean, they don't separate.
Listen, and when you get diagnosed with a cervical cancer, you have cancer like anyone else. You're in the treatment room. You're getting, you know, chemo, yeah, radiation, and or surgery like anyone else. You're dealing with the post-traumatic stress of any type of cancer. So here's the other thing. Most people think you're done with treatment and that's it and it's over. But okay, Here's the reality. You still live with it. You know, I have a friend, and if she sees this, I love you and you know this.
Okay, don't say her name.
No, say I'm your not friend. Gonna say her okay. name. Okay. You know, but I tell my truth. That's who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And she knows this. She just had a baby and she wants me to come see the baby and I want to come and see the baby.
Okay.
But I'm going to see that baby. I'm going to love that. Oh, I'm going to love that juicy baby.
Okay.
But I will know that I won't have that moment. I won't have that moment because of this cancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I won't have that because of it. And can I live my life? Yeah, I do it every single day. There's some days it doesn't
bother me. Do you have a support group for people who have gone through maybe the hysterectomy where they can talk about these feelings
that
you will never be able to have your own child in your womb?
We talk about all of it. We talk about everything. People who've had radiated bladders, radiated, you know, everything. We talk about a lot of things. And
do you talk about the issue of race and the issue of cervical cancer and how? And what experiences have you heard in connection to that? Do they feel that they're not heard by their doctor because maybe they're Latino or African-American or Asian or Native American?
I just had this conversation earlier today with someone, and we were talking about, you know, people where there's the health divide. And here's the thing. I know I had fantastic care because not only did people move quickly for me, but I had great insurance. But I also was treated at Hopkins.
Johns Hopkins.
Let me just say, it's not lost on me that Henrietta Lacks, that everybody should know about, and if you don't, go and research Gila, was treated and her cells removed at Hopkins. And those cells not only helped with advancements like the HPV vaccine. Yep. So it's not lost on me at all.
Yes.
But here's the thing about race. You know, is treatment equal? Absolutely not. Do people bring their stereotypes and their beliefs into the operating room, into the way of treatment? Again, I know somebody's going to come in the DMs. I've had doctors do this before. You know, you ask me a question, I'm telling you how I feel. Again, that's why we have this platform.
Right.
I also know what patients say to me. There are a lot of great doctors out there. I know, I meet them. I get emails from them on Christmas and email. They're researching away and they're trying to move the needle so that people don't die and we have better things. But I also know that they are doctors who put people aside. That didn't happen to me during my cancer diagnosis.
Okay.
But it happened to me while I was trying to preserve my fertility.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to me while I was trying to make sure that I could become a mom after my cancer diagnosis. And
so what do we tell those people who feel that they're not heard? That they can go find another doctor? That they should contact
your organization? Well, see, but here's the thing. It's not always possible. Realistically, it's not always possible for people to get other doctors. Not everyone has the means to do that. But what we do have now, we have organizations that are here to help.
There's family what's that? Reach. An organization like yours?
Yeah, my organization will help. But if you want somebody really to fight for patients' rights, you need to go to the patient advocate. You need to go to Family Reach. You need to go to Triage Cancer. You need to go to these places so that they can tell you what laws are enabled to protect and help you. You need to be able to get them involved, Tamika, so that they can fight on your behalf.
We're running out of time. So I want you to repeat again, where can people find you and your organization on social media?
We'll make it easy. Go to survivor.org.
Okay.
Well, Patty put it again in the chat.
I see.
I talked about my nieces and nephews earlier. I want to shout out to my little nephew, Tyson, who's not so little. He's a track star.
Okay, track star.
Gonna be like auntie. He's probably going to be like Auntie Tamika on there talking about all kind of stuff again.
All right. Well, I want want to tell people you can reach me at Joy Keys on Twitter. Also, check me out Saturday mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook and Saturdays with Joy Keys here at Instagram. And this Saturday, I'll be doing two podcasts, one on glaucoma and the other one with Haitian writer Miriam Chancy about her book, What Storm, What Thunder. And I got another giveaway. What's the other giveaway? I got something in my left hand. I got something in my right. What is this? Oh, my God. Unbound by Tarana Burke.
Ooh, you got some good stuff.
A free copy, hardback copy. How do you win this copy? Okay, you know what? The first person, you can't have won the other book because I gave away another book earlier. But the first person to send me, Henrietta Lacks' birthday. The first person to email me Saturdays with
Joy. That's coming up, by the way. Her birthday is coming up.
At hotmail.com. Again, the email address is Saturdays with Joy Keys at hotmail.com. You want to win a free hardback bound copy, Unbound by Tarana Burke, all right? So you got a chance earlier to win one book. You missed that, but now you got another chance to win this book. And it's something I do all the time. Tamika will tell you, I give away gift cards, tickets to shows, all types of things. So follow on the social media. Thank you, guys. I see everybody waving. You guys have a great crew over at Survivor. Remember, check out CDC.org, NIH. Those are valid places to get information about cervical cancer. Don't listen to some, you know, John Doe.
Your mama's cousin, uncle's cousin's nurse.
Yes, Bubba. Don't listen to Bubba, okay? Don't listen to Bubba, all right? Or Johnny Doe.
Joy, let me just say this really quickly. Thank you for being who you are. We need more people like you in the world. Mwah.
Thank you very much. You guys have a great evening. And again, check out Survivor.org. Wonderful organization helping women. And you can get shirts. You can get stuff from her, too.
Yes.
All right. Take it easy. You have a good night.
You too. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.